All right, welcome, folks, for this fantastic segment. You're going to love this. We've got David Wilcock joining us in an audio interview. It has been a while since I've spoken with David Wilcock on all these issues that are taking place. He's got a new documentary that's about to come out that he encourages you to repost. He'll tell you about that here in just a second. And what the reason I wanted David on was because, well, he's got more of an optimistic interpretation of the white hats and the good guys winning, that we're going to make it through all this. And, you know, the bad guys are going to be prosecuted and so on. And I've been, you know, very skeptical about that. So I want to bring on David Wilcock to talk about what he knows about the deep insiders and what's actually happening that can be good news for setting humanity free. So David Wilcock, sir, it's awesome to have you on. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Mike Adams. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm just honored to have you on. You've done such tremendous work over the years, opened people's eyes to so many things. You got a new documentary. You want to start by just telling us about that documentary, and then we'll jump into the kind of the white hat question?
Sure. I was fortunate enough to raise significant sums of money. I guess you could say seven figures from doing these online events for $333. And you sell enough of those tickets, you actually raise significant capital. And so I never had more than like $1 or $2 million at a time. But the point is that I intelligently invested it in purchasing an airport. It's a military airport. We purchased the Niagara Falls Air Reserve Station. It's an army base in Niagara Falls. And we own it outright. And we got an NCIDA grant, which is Niagara County Industrial Development Authority, where they reduced the price of purchase. It was still expensive, but they reduced the price of purchase as a job-creating stimulus. So the idea is that we have a facility that has enough manufacturing space to begin prototyping exotic technology that the Navy has already declassified.
Well, like, what kind of technology are you talking about?
We see, first of all, from the Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA, 159 pages on exotic metamaterials that they declassified. That was the main sub. There were several subjects, but the one that caught my eye was exotic metamaterials. Because here's the DIA saying, hey, everybody, go look at quasicrystals and how weird that is. So anyway, there's lots of different places we're going to go, and I didn't want to get bogged down into quasicrystals and material science, but my point in trying to tell you all this, Mike, just to summarize, is that we are, so Salvatore Pius is the other big part of this, the Navy declassified patents. Here's a guy who comes out with exotic patents in five different categories. He's got room temperature superconductors. He's got plasma compression fusion device, which can generate absurd terawatts worth of energy in something the size of a basketball. More energy than we're generating with our huge power plants in one small object. In fact, one of the things I keep hearing from the insiders is that when we get this new technology, we're going to have so much energy that it's way beyond what we need for what we're using it for now. And so Salvatore Pius, up until very recently, was just a mystery man who had filed these five patents, another of which, and the most exciting, of course, is for a hybrid air underwater craft, or HAUC. And he's describing something that powers itself on gravitational lift, not propellers, not fans, not wings, but gravity. Okay. And then he's actually putting out a theoretical foundation on how gravity can be repelled. And he used material that in some cases was stuff that I'd already been writing about 20 years ago. There was a gyroscope experiment in Japan where they found out that if you spin a gyroscope clockwise, I believe it falls a little bit slower than if it's going counterclockwise, which is highly, highly bizarre, but suggests some sort of inertial dampening effect is caused by when you're going co-rotational with whatever this vector is that grabs on to gravity and inertia, if you will. Well, I'm sorry. This starting to get very technical.
Now. No, yeah, I know. I've got a ton of questions for you, but I just to kind of wrap up this topic. I mean, my my default position on this, and this is what I also said to the low energy nuclear reactions people, is okay, this is all great, but you know, show us, like demonstrate this publicly. And what, and I know that's going to take time, it's going to take money and R&D and so on. But what's fascinating is the cold fusion folks are actually about to do a public demonstration at Rice University near Houston of a Stirling engine powered by their Leonard device. But the thing is,
with a Stirling engine, interesting.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to power just a small Stirling engine because it doesn't really take much juice. But you know, like cold fusion produces a very small amount of excess heat steadily over time, essentially for free. But it's not going to drive like a warp drive engine. You know what I mean? It's not a lot of energy at all. It's a small amount of energy. It's just mostly free. I mean, it heats water, you know, it's excess heat. But what you're talking about is obviously a completely different realm of high density energy that I take it would, you know, be, it would blow the walls off of current systems. I mean, you'd have to have massive breaker boxes or something to even handle it, I would imagine. A whole new system of electronics.
It's a whole new system, right? So Salvatore Pius' patent is for a flying triangle that's anti-gravity and supposedly, he says, could go through air, space, or underwater with equal efficacy, which would be amazing.
And yeah, well, I say, tell us when anybody can show us some of this stuff, because the world is ready for something revolutionary.
Well, I mean, you've chosen to do an amazing thing with Health Ranger Store. You're building up your capacity to get people these survival products they need. I chose to take money and buy an airport so that we have a place to build this stuff.
Yeah.
Right. That's the whole idea, is we have vaults, which you need for classified material. We have, I mean, it's a fully functional 180,000 square foot abandoned military base that has a 5 foot thick concrete roof, so bombs can't hit us.
What?
Yeah.
You have 5 foot thick concrete roof? Now yeah, I'm buddy. Jealous. I totally want to live in a place like that.
Probably be the last one standing if I'm in my base when it goes down. You know?
My
and we're
goodness.
Right on the border with Canada, so if we get a fancy invasion, guess what? I've reactivated America's front line for this war.
You know,
my
just
own money, dude.
Just the concrete alone is worth more than what you paid for that place.
Oh, it's insane. And we had problems because lenders say, well, we don't believe in the NCIDA grant. We only say that it's worth what you paid for. It's like, dude, this is an industrial development grant. We don't want to sell it off to some lender who just wants to loan shark it out from under us and bleed it off to somebody who's going to turn into like a big Hollywood film studio or something.
Yeah.
We want to actually give people jobs, and we want to put America back on the front line of technology, because guess what, Mike? If America has really, really amazing technology that the world doesn't have, that's going to give people inspiration to have jobs. They're going to get paid well, and it's going to put us back on the map as the beacon of new technology and new ways of living.
Well, that reminds me, let me ask you this. I didn't prearrange this question or anything, but you can skip it if you want, but did you hear that Russia, this was like a year ago or something, Russia was working on hypersonic missiles that were nuclear powered, and one of them had it crashed and there was some nuclear material, but how can they have a nuclear powered missile? Because normally that's, you know, it's like scramjet motors and rocket fuel and stuff like that. They were talking about somehow nuclear powered hypersonic missiles.
Well, I'm not really a full expert on these exotic technologies because I haven't been read in on them yet. I'm not technically on a need to know yet, but I do know from some of the discussions I've already had that there are some types of cold plasma generation methods that could be nuclear in nature. But I think that all of the technology that we're going to be seeing that's exotic, that's cutting edge, like what Salvatore Pius is saying, you have to hit the quantum vacuum with at least one coulomb of energy to get this magic thing called quantum vacuum breakdown. And if you think about it, Normally, we look at electromagnetism and we look at gravity as separate forces, but the holy grail that Einstein alluded to with E equals mc squared is that energy, mass, and light are all essentially one, which would imply, of course, that gravity and electromagnetism would have some form of equivalence. So what Pius has actually revealed is that when you pump enough energy into an area, the difference between electricity and gravity starts to blur. And even the location that you're in time starts to blur. And so when you access the type of power that these new power plants are going to provide, you now have the ability to directly open up a hole in space and time, if you will, that can be used for gravitational thrust, for wormhole travel, and for time travel, ultimately, once we're mature enough to use it.
Well, there's the catch, isn't it? I mean, we're still destroying our own economies, shutting down our current energy system. The governments are engineering food scarcity, trying to start World War III, depopulation, biological weapons injected into people with vaccines. And I'm like, I don't want the government to have time travel at this point.
I don't want Justin Trudeau getting in a time machine saying, oh, if I could only have changed that one thing.
Right.
I mean, dude, I was thinking about going to Canada for vacation, but they have this like app that you have to have to enter Canada now. And it's like, I went to the Calgary airport, which is where you go to get to the most beautiful place in the world, which is Banff, B-A-N-F-F. It's in Canada. And they don't like Americans knowing about it, so they don't ever tell us. But if you figure it out, go to Banff. It's amazing. Well, not now, because the Calgary airport, first of all, there's not that many people going through it. But what's happened is it's become so massive. It takes like 20 minutes to walk from the international arrivals down to the parking garage. And why is it so massive? There's no people going through. Well, because it's a damn quarantine facility. And so there's probably tons and tons and tons of rooms in there. And I think these people have swung and missed so epically, Mike. And I think that you are one of the leading voices, of course. We don't want to give too much credit to any one of us. It's all a team effort, but you have done so much stuff every day, man. You're out there fighting this battle. And I think we all owe ourselves a great debt of gratitude, because in the thick of each new bullet whizzing past us, we forget that the majority of all the gains that we needed to get to have been won. And I think we're pretty much now at the point where the really dramatic and exciting turnaround is going to be happening.
Well, that's actually what I wanted to get us to. And what's funny is when you and I start talking, like the very first time we ever spoke, it was 3 hours. I mean, we've never had a short conversation. No, it's just because there's so many things to explore, but we do have a time format here that we've got to stick to. So let's jump into the whole white hat question. Let me just set the context again. Now, I have a more pessimistic view right now that, we're screwed. Although I hope that's not true, but the white hats, the promises really happened, that there were a lot of promises that we heard from different vectors for the last 2 years and so on. But you have a more optimistic view, and I think the audience would like to hear what that is and what's your basis for that. What do you think is going to happen? Will real Americans be able to take this country back from the criminal crime cartels there?
I think that probably the biggest contribution I can make now that would add to things that I've already said before is to explain that when Eisenhower warned about the rise of unwarranted power and influence from the military-industrial complex, that what has happened beginning in the 1950s with that warning statement is that the responsible military divorced the industrial complex. And by industrial complex, I would say big banking, big finance, big pharma, big tech, big science, big oil. You follow what I'm saying? There's been a divorce. It's not the military industrial complex anymore. It's the military versus the industrial complex. And so this war has been going on covertly for a very long time. There was a very comprehensive plan put together, 5-inch thick binder in the 1950s. as I said in a previous show with you, financed by Howard Hughes, which was apparently also delivered to us in part by extraterrestrial humans. This individual that identified as Valiant Thor had unusual physiology. He had like very strange organs and was a Christian, spoke very glowingly of Jesus Christ. And actually, I believe that the Saint Germain, who was at the Declaration of Independence, remember, they had locked themselves inside the room. They had chains on the doors. Nobody could get in. Nobody could get out. This is the Founding Fathers when they're about to sign the Declaration of Independence in 1776. While they were all there in that room, somebody showed up who called himself Saint Germain out of nowhere. This man apported into their room, basically. Nobody could figure out how he got in. And because beings like Valiant Thor are telepathic, these are angels. These are God's angels, in my view. Same ones we're hearing about in the Bible. You know, they do exist. This is one of the big things that we've been lied to about. The military knows this. So Saint Germain knew all the top-level handshakes that everybody had in their little secret organization, which he could care less about. It was just to wow them. And he also could walk up to you and introduce, speak to you by name and know things about you that nobody could have known, which immediately just makes you realize, okay, I'm not in front of an ordinary being. I'm in front of something else. And if you read the Old and the New Testament, angels show up looking like humans. They don't have wings. That's a misnomer. So it's just a metaphor of the fact that they can levitate. But anyway, when Saint Germain is there at the signing of the Declaration of Independence, what does he do? He gives a rousing speech to all the people there. He says, "You do not understand the significance of what you're doing. You have to sign this. I know it doesn't seem like it's going to work, but this is all being guided. In God we trust." When they said "in God we trust," it's because one of God's messengers showed up to give them the proof and the faith that they needed to contribute to finishing that job and declaring their independence from tyranny. Hmm. So these beings, these angels are real. And America is a big part of the angelic plan because Second Amendment, because freedom of assembly, because freedom of speech, these rights that are endowed to us by our Creator. Well, this is because Creator's angels came to us and taught us what to do because they are outside of time. So again, I believe in the 1950s, they were here again as Valiant Thor and others. They created this plan, which is using the benefit of time travel. They already know what they're doing in the future with it. And what we've seen for the last few years now is an incredible mind-altering unveiling of the evil on Earth so that even the most remedial student can get the lesson.
Well, okay. And so I'm sorry to interrupt, but we hear that explanation quite a bit that like people had to see how bad this is in order for, you know, some awakening to occur, which I get, I understand that. However, I'm just shocked, David, that how deep into evil we continue to plunge, and somehow Joe Biden is still like 47% of the polls. It's like some people will never wake up. I mean, they're committing vaccine suicide. They're killing their babies in with infanticide. They're begging to take more shots and eat more pesticides.
Do you like that versus the Book of Revelation, volcanoes and tsunamis washing us off like ants off of an anthill? I mean, that's the choice that we had, you know. We're at the end of a 25,000-year cycle, and God's wrath and God's judgment is delivered upon humans. I mean, this is a cleansing. This is all stuff that's been predicted for thousands and thousands of years. They told us when it was going to happen, and they gave us a pretty broad view of the fact that it's going to really, really suck for a while to be on Earth. But what seems to be so exciting is that this ET-assisted alternative to the massive catastrophe Earth changes is guiding us through what they consider to be a much more useful awakening than if we all died with volcanoes and earthquakes and stuff.
Well, you have a 5 foot thick concrete ceiling that you
can, I mean, I'm prepared for
you can handle the fallout, but not everybody's equally positioned.
That's not what's going to be happening, you know, where we're not getting those earth changes.
Well, that's interesting because I wanted to ask you about earth changes specifically, and there's a lot of weird things going on with like water collapse in China, droughts all over the world, of course, global crop failures. And it seems odd. How can the water or the rain fail in all these continents all at the same time? Usually the water is flooding in one place and drought in another because the water has to go somewhere. But now it's drought everywhere, it seems. And it doesn't seem like a normal cycle, like anything natural. Oh,
absolutely not. We're clearly seeing a bipolar weather war going on in which there's at least two main factions and probably more than two factions that are artificially engineering this. And you went through that Texageddon thing. The polar ice cap does not slide all the way down to Texas and freeze all your windmills. That was an engineered event.
Yeah.
And these droughts are engineered. And what's happening to me in Colorado, and as you know, I'm at 8,600 feet altitude up in the Rockies, we have rain every day. At 1 o'clock, 1:30, it's just raining every single day. So it's not that the rain is gone, they just moved it around. And I'm one of the places that's getting it all.
No, I saw it was flooding in Las Vegas last week.
Yeah.
It's like in the middle of the desert.
I think that Archangel Michael, of course, as you know, has been working with me, and this is a fascinating subject that we don't have a whole lot of time to get into, but I've received many prophetic statements which are coming together into this book called Michael Prophecies, which now is going to include everything from 1996, 97, 98, 99. And I got to say this because it is amazing the degree to which this book has predicted the future and talked with great accuracy about things that are already going on. Of course, our movie Moment of Truth has some of it in there. I've got probably four YouTube videos that are chock full of these prophecies. You can go back to my YouTube channel, David Wilcox 333, watch that. But the point is that now, in the 1998 set of materials, I found something truly fascinating, Mike, and I wanted to get this in since we don't have very much time.
Yeah, go for it.
Some of my military insider sources told me that they expect a 100% death rate on vaccination. If you took it, you're gone within 10 years. 100%. Okay? That is some stuff that you hear. Now, is that true? Sure, it makes you scared. Probably a lot of people are feeling really scared now that I said that. But that's stuff that you hear, and you have to be able to analyze pragmatically and say, well, is that true or is that BS? Well, I don't know. I don't think it's true. But I also wouldn't put it past these people to do their best to make something where if you took it at all, you're screwed. Okay, so there is a possibility that that is what's going to happen. Now, the Michael Prophecy book actually talks about this. And what I find so incredible is they say that because the earth changes don't need to happen because this mass vaccination, this crazy Hitlerian wet dream gone wrong on a global stage where CVS is the ice cream store and come get your lollipop, little girl. You know, it's incredible what they're doing. And the way that they've weaponized the institutions of our society, which many people do not have the flexibility of imagination to even contain the idea that the world is this screwed and that it's this evil. Okay.
Yeah.
But when you have something of that enormity of evil, well, what if it's true, right? Nobody really even wants to say this in the alternative community. So I just said, let's have it as a thought experiment. What if the people that said 100% lethality are actually supposedly correct within the third dimensional reality? Okay. Well, the Michael prophecies directly speak about this. And what they're telling us is that once enough of us make a little bit more of a push to be more spiritual, it's not even a whole lot more. And they're explaining what it is. And I'm going to be teaching this a lot more as we go forward. Apparently, they can allow the sun to release a higher amount of energy and they're going to surround the Earth and us in our bodies, our physical bodies, with what they call a shroud of love, which is admittedly not a technical term. But the shroud of love surrounds us. And after this happens, the sun's energy changes the physics. And once that occurs, you now have a fourth density body, as they call it. You have an angelic body. And no matter how trashed up your physical body is, you can fix it immediately. You have the full ability to heal your physical body. And so this they're showing me, I think, Mike, it's possible that the whole thing that we're looking at with this global weird crisis is kind of like a setup where we have to turn to God for the answer. And the answer ultimately is going to be a dimensional shift that allows us to magically heal our own bodies. As crazy as all that sounds,
no, actually, we're almost out of time, but I've got one question. Great. For those listening who are thinking, whoa, man, what are you talking about? This sounds out there. David, you know the name for this. I forgot what it is, but do you recall when mainstream physicists and scientists, they were studying what happens to pendulums on Earth, the big pendulums that are used to try to measure the rotation of the Earth? What happens to these pendulums during a solar eclipse? You know what I'm talking about.
Chandler's wobble. Yeah.
I think
similar to that.
There's some other term, but
the declination of the pendulum, right? I know what you're talking
right,
about.
Right, right, right. So it would reverse precession, right? It would reverse its precession during solar eclipses. And the mainstream scientists have replicated this over and over again, and nobody can explain it. It's like in the absence of the sun, something changes in the physics.
Gravity and inertia are essentially the result of a fluid-like energy that flows into the Earth to create atoms moment by moment. So we're like mosquitoes getting blown against a screen window. Gravity blows us down onto the Earth. And so then the secret is, if you can screen some of that downward pressure, there's actually almost an equal amount of upward pressure. Gravity is the equilibrium between two opposing forces.
Oh, here, I was looking up the name while you're talking, the Elias effect.
Oh, okay, right.
A-L-L-A-I-S.
It's similar to Chandler's wobble in that Chandler's wobble is a similar effect that takes place with the whole Earth.
Okay,
which is rooted in that pendulum declination thing you're talking about, yeah.
So this, folks, this is on researchgate.net. This has been written up by Forbes magazine. There's a whole entry on Wikipedia about the Elias effect. It's been replicated in labs all over the world. Nobody can explain this. So for those of you listening, if you're thinking like, none of this is possible, let me tell you, even the scientists of Earth cannot explain the way the cosmos works. They can't explain it. I mean, it's a fact.
It depends on which scientist you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm paying for talking mainstream. Research. Yeah, right.
Regarding the Dan Bongino thing real quick, I did want to say this, Mike, which is that the Dr. Zelenko remedy is also found in onions. And you've mentioned this yourself.
Quercetin.
Archangel Michael is telling me that onions are incredibly critical. So I eat them with every meal. I have like about a half of an onion sauteed or a quarter, depending on the size. But I'm having sauteed onions with every meal. And I believe that you know, as long as you're flooding yourself with the quercetin and these types of zinc ionophores, you're going to be fighting those spike proteins and beating them back and buying yourself more time. And again, you only need to wait until this event takes place. And it seems like it corresponds with the arrests. I think we're going to get into some kind of dimensional shift where it will be as if everyone's mind has been activated. And it's a very, very exciting prospect. And I will be talking about this soon when I finish the book. But Michael's got me on a big deadline. He says, you got to get this done, put everything else on hold, get this done first. So that's what I'm trying to do. Hopefully within a week, it'll be ready. But,
you know, having earthly book agents pressure you is bad enough, but having divine book agents is like, now you have cosmic pressure.
When they're the lords of karma, it's very dangerous to disobey them. Yes. Yeah,
exactly. Well, I love the fact that you're eating onions, and I think if we could spread this all across America, perhaps we could maintain the state of the onion.
No. He shoots and he stars, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm sorry. I can't turn off the word games and the wordplay, but
come on, it's Mike Adams. It's Bright Eon. It's natural news. This is the most natural way to get your news.
Absolutely. And Let's we have to have fun doing it.
Absolutely.
All right. We're way over time, but this was fun, David. Give us one more time where people can find your work or follow you.
Well, the new Michael Prophecies, when it comes out, will be available on thedisclosure.com. I also hope to get a copy of Spaceship up there that will play. But the Michael Prophecies thing is going to be out on thedisclosure.com. I expect it to be ready soon. And then that segues into a course that I'm going to have online, which is a six-week video course called Ascension Philosophy. I'm going to be talking a lot more about what Archangel Michael is teaching me about telekinesis, about defending against black magic, about the secrets of the Illuminati, the secrets of Satanism. Lots of interesting stuff. It's very controversial. So I'm going to be dropping some major bombshells in the next few weeks here, and I really look forward to getting started with that.
That's awesome. And I just want to add, if we do get wormholes happening here on Earth, can we throw the pedophiles into it? Can we just pull together all the child traffickers and say, yeah, we're sending you to an alternate universe. It's likely to rip apart
your
atomic structure.
Depends on where we're sending them. I mean, if it was Pedo Island, they'd probably be very happy to go through the wormhole, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They'd probably grease the wormhole.
It's like an Epstein Island in space. Oh, my goodness, yeah. Oh. Okay, this is going to get bad if we don't wrap it up. But thank you, David, for taking the time and sharing your thoughts and ideas and projects with us. Please keep us posted with what you've got going on.
I really appreciate your help. And again, everybody, please, YouTube would not let me upload Spaceship. So you got to go to Vimeo or Brighteon, type in my name, David Wilcock, type in Spaceship, and please download this, save it. It's under attack. They're trying to ban this video. I'm not selling it. It's all free. It's 3.5 hours in two parts.
Whoa.
So please check out Spaceship. Yeah, it's very amazing. I spent a whole year working on this movie.
You never do short movies either. They're very, like, you've got chapters and novel length documentaries.
You're meeting three insiders. You're meeting the Spoonbender Jack Houck. You're meeting Salvatore Pius. You're meeting Chris Beskar. And we're all telling you, hey, everybody, the Star Trek age is much, much closer than you think. As soon as we get rid of these deep state guys, as soon as we get them arrested and imprisoned, it's game on for space travel and meeting extraterrestrials, and all kinds of amazing stuff is going to be happening.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go, folks. That's a future to look forward to that you didn't expect to hear tonight, I bet. So thank you. Thank you, David. It's always fun to get to chat with you, and
you bet.
Have a great evening. Thanks for staying up late for us.